I believe our scheduled guest has joined us. This gentleman is, you've seen him on both seasons of Wicked Tuna. That's a show that you can see on the Nat Geo channel. I believe we have Captain Ralph Wilkins joining us. Captain, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty. Hey, how'd you weather the storm?
It was pretty brutal on the Cape. You know, we had about 2 feet of snow and, you know, no electric, out of electric for 24 hours. So it was pretty crazy.
Now, when weather's like that, I mean, how does that hamper you when it comes to plying your trade? Do you not fish during the wintertime? Or
yeah, no more, because the increased cost of fuel and the lack of ability to fish with the weather kind of took that away from us. The profitability of fishing in the winter is over probably about 5 years ago for us.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm. Yeah, unless you want to go down to Carolinas. I did that thing for a couple of years. You know, it takes 3 days to get down. You have to catch 3 or 4 fish just to cover your fuel cost. And the fishing, it was just a little too risky. So, actually, you cut your losses now, you tie your boat up, and you go home, you do some home improvements, and give the wife some love.
Now, we had Paul Hebert on about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he, you know, kind of gave us, he filled us in on the gaps as to how this season of Wicked Tuna is different than last season. And I already kind of see the big difference. You got a young gun who's on the show this season who I guess doesn't have a lot of respect for the guys who've been in the industry for a while, from what I understand.
Yep, they added a couple boats, and the first one that you guys are seeing is Tyler. He's I guess 24.
Yep,
he's fished on my boat. He's fished on a number of other good fishing boats, so he's learned the trade from some of the best guys. He's a fishy kid. The problem with Tyler is it all came too easy for him, and he doesn't know the word respect. And, you know, the fleet's kind of having a hard time with them, to be honest with you.
I have to ask, is his way of fishing different from yours? I know that there seems to be this, you know, it seems as though you have the guys who are out there with the rod and reel compared to the guys who are out there and kind of throwing the harpoon.
Right.
Folks who may or may not have watched the show, where are you in relative? Are you a guy who does one or the other, or do you both?
No, I'm a rod and reel guy, and I'm strictly commercial. I haven't done any charters up until this point. My sole income was from catching tuna fish. Right. And, you know, I'd go out, start in June and end in November in New England, and just try to catch as many giant tunas as I could, ship them to Japan.
Mm.
You know, the other guys, you know, early in the season when the fish first arrive, they're kind of lazy. They lay on the surface. Those harpoon guys have opportunities to kill a couple. But that's not a whole season, you know. That thing kind of wraps up as the warm water, the surface water increases. The fish start to go down to the deeper water, so the harpooners don't see him as frequently. And usually those guys transition into either rod and reeling, or, you know, some of the strict guys are just harpoon guys. They don't, you know, harpoon in the middle of the summer. But
no.
It's two different methods. They're both efficient, and they're both, you know, regulated by the government, 1, 2, or 3 fish a day, depending on what the federal government allows us. And, you know, we don't use nets or anything, so we don't wipe out entire schools. We pretty much catch one at a time.
I guess I have to ask you, and that is where are you in the rankings as far as the leaderboard? How is that working for you?
Well, you know, that's kind of a touchy subject, because basically, there's really two seasons. There's the season dictated by the federal government that we can catch giant tunas, and then there's the Wicked Tuna season. So they don't overlap each other. The Wicked Tuna season's a little shorter. It's more like a tournament. And if you catch a fish when they're filming, it counts. And if you catch one when they're not filming, it don't count.
Mm.
So it's kind of a crapshoot. Some of the guys, they spend more time on than the other guys. But, you know, once again, this is a TV show. It's a reality show. And it's not only about the fishing. It's to bring light to the bluefin populations declining over the years. And it's to show the struggle that the bluefin tuna fishermen have undergone over the last couple of years trying to maintain a business.
Now, if folks haven't had a chance to take a look at the National Geographic website, that's where the leaderboard is and the rankings up into episode 4. And they also have, I guess, votes. Now, it seems like you get a bit of a popularity contest going here, other than how many fish are caught, too, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really spend much time on the internet, so I don't know. And to be honest with you, when you get involved with a show like this, you can't read too much of that stuff because, right. you know, there's for everyone that loves you, there's somebody that hates you. Mm. So it's kind of like the best thing for us, and I know the best thing for me, since I'm the hothead in the fleet,
yeah.
is not to read that stuff.
Okay. Well, if that's true... Captain Dave Carraro seems to be the guy who's way behind when it comes to popular votes. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you know, Dave's got that kind of mannerism, and I get a lot of people asking me, is Dave really that way? And, you know, getting to know somebody after doing a TV show, you know, if the stuff that you're seeing on TV is real, I was kind of surprised at Dave. You know, I know Dave for a number of years. You know, I know he's always been Tricky Dave, but I never really thought he was that devilish, you know, like sending Billy to the wrong numbers and stuff like that. Right. I really didn't think Dave had that in him. But, you know, watching the show, and we get to watch it the same time as you guys. We don't see pre-production. You know, we film what goes on our boat, and we don't really know who they're filming, when they're filming, or what boat they're filming, and what's going on that boat. So... it's quite interesting even for us. We're excited every week to watch the episodes because we don't see what they do in L.A., and that's when they take all this footage and make it into a story. And, you know, all the boats are real. All the footage is real. What L.A. does is they organize it and create it, so it's exciting for you guys.
What's the feedback that you've gotten from people that you talk to about the show, and in particular the you know your segments that kind of feature you on your boat?
Well, I tell you what, I'm surprised how many fans I got. You know, I mean, not being in TV or not being an actor or anything like that, it's kind of shocking when you go into Stop and Shop and you're walking down the cereal aisle and somebody recognizes you, and before you know it, you're posing for pictures for 15 minutes trying to get a box of cereal. So, you know, it's been a lot of positive stuff. The kids are amazing. The kids look at you like you're a superhero. You know, and you could really make a difference in some of these kids' lives. I mean, we've been doing some stuff with misfortunate children and some sick children. And, you know, it's just unbelievable the power and the energy that you can feel from the fans. It's something that I really never thought I'd ever experience in my life. And it's been, you know, especially season two. Expecting it's been much more enjoyable.
I got to ask you, is this you know, when it comes to competition, sometimes people get really passionate, and who knows, maybe things get a little bit physical. In the past year and a half, has it become physical between you and anybody else who has a boat that maybe we haven't seen, that maybe that footage is on the floor, or that we're going to witness maybe later on the season?
Well, I'm noted for confrontations, and even from season one, what happens is I fish really hard. The days are long. We fish also at night, and, you know, it's sleep deprivation. The pressure and the stress of having to catch fish, the cost of fuel every time you go in and out, it's a load, man. It's a load on your brain. And then if somebody does something that you don't think is fair, reasonable, or safe, you could really lose it. And especially a guy like me, I sit on the edge of my seat anyway in a normal day getting mad at everybody because I don't agree with the way they do things. And then, you know, add the sleep deprivation, add the stress, add the financial need for money, and things can get pretty evil. And as far as confrontations, I've had a couple physical confrontations in my career of 30 years, and sometimes, you know, you have to make a point, and some people, there's no other way to make the point except for with a push. And anybody that watched episode 4, which aired last night, saw probably one of the best Wicked Tuner episodes that I've ever seen, and there was... Tyler and myself got into a little spat, so I won't spoil it for you guys, but I'm sure there'll be a rerun of episode 4 this week on Nat Geo, so you guys should tune into Nat Geo.
Well, I did have a chance to see it, and I actually even looked at some of the feedback online, because there is a blog, a constant blog,
right,
where fans have a chance to say stuff, and you actually have folks who are kind of sticking up for you because they feel as though you get this young guy who's coming in here, and he's not giving any respect to, you know, long-time fisherman like yourself. It's kind of like
well, we were tweeting last night, and I got to tell you, I handled maybe 200 tweets, and I had only maybe three people that thought I was wrong. So the general vote around the world, I guess, was that Tyler, you know, he asked for it. And I got to tell you that when I was his age in this business, we respected the other guys, the older guys. And when we started catching more than the older guys, we didn't rub it in their nose, or we didn't try to throw water bombs at them, or we didn't, you know what, we always worshipped the guys that came before us, because as young kids, watching, you know, the grown men catch 1,000-pound tuna fishes, we were in awe. And then we were very humble. You know, the guys that I fished with, we were commercial professionals. We were very humble when we started to catch more fish than our idols. And you know what? That everybody, that's going to happen. We know that's going to happen. The young guys are going to come up. They got more energy.
Sure.
But we expect respect. And, you know, Billy and I, who was on the boat that day, Billy's an old-timer. You know, I guess I'm getting to be an old-timer now that Tyler's on the show. It's, you know, we want everybody to catch fish that dedicates their time and life to it. But we don't want a kid like Tyler to lose the respect that we had for the guys that came before us. So we're hoping that he can mature into somebody, because he's a fishy kid. And like I said, he fished with a bunch of us. We know everybody knows each other. Anybody, 10% of the of all the permits catch 90% of the fish. So 10% of the guys that catch these things, mostly everybody knows each other, believe it or not, or knows who the boats are that catch them.
Sure.
So it's a community of guys. And, you know, the guys that I work with, we have respect for each other. We don't do a lot of things that the other guys do to each other. You know, we kind of root each other on. We want each other to catch fish. If somebody's catching fish, we won't go and mug their numbers. You know, we'll let them try to get back on that spot and get into a rhythm and catch one every day. And then you get these other guys, and then you get these, you know, heroes like Tyler, you know. And, you know, all the rules go out the window. All the respect goes out the window. And it was a bit agitating this year, you know, to a point where some people called it nauseating. So we're hoping that maybe he'll come back next year, and, you know, especially after seeing his representation on TV, may grow up a little bit, you know. He's not a bad guy, and he is a fishy kid, but... you know, he's got some work to do. I got to tell you, to be a great captain is not to catch the most fish. And he thinks by catching the most fish, he's going to be a great captain. And that's not the way it works. You got to put 30 years of catching together and come home safe to your family to be a great captain.
Well, we want to thank you, Captain Ralph Wilkins. Of course, your boat, the Odyssey, and we definitely will be staying tuned every Sunday night to the Nat Geo Channel for more Wicked Tuna, second season.
Great show. It's been fun doing it. We love the fans. We thank the fans. And, you know, we'll talk to you the next time. Just, you know, keep us tuned in.
I shall, sir.
All right, buddy.
We're going to step aside. When we come back, we have an interview with somebody that's kind of in the fishy area, Lori Grenier. She's the warm-blooded shark of the Shark Tank on ABC. She's coming up next. Stay tuned.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station, 95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.